All right, what's up, class? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth. We're back for another episode. This is Teacher's Lounge. We're at block height 654,612, and the current price is 13,250. Say what's up, Nick.
Yo, what's up, class? We just had a great presentation from Dennis, so you should definitely go check that out. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to tonight. We have a few new faces around here that I've never seen before. So what's up? Welcome to class.
What's up, everyone? Good to have you. We got another full class. So I think before we go anywhere, we'll just have a little price talk. Last week, I think we barely kissed 13K. I think when we started recording, it just tapped 13K and then it went down a little bit. And yesterday, we had some more bullish action. It went up to, I think it was 13.8K, but we kind of had a little dip. So I know everyone out there was buying the dip because we were all on Twitter talking about how this is a dump for ants. So what's your guys' sentiment? I know we're all super bullish right now. Yesterday, Jessifer and Nick and Dennis and I were convinced that when we started class today, we'd be at 14K. So maybe we jinx that one, guys, but what are you guys thinking? How are you guys feeling out there?
So, I saw the dude from River say that they had a huge volume of people buying the dip today.
I contributed to that.
Let's go.
Hey.
On River. I love that service. Fully endorse.
Same here. River's fucking dope.
From the routing perspective, I routed a lot of payments to River, so I was super happy to capitalize on that.
What do you mean by routed payments to River?
So, like, River takes Lightning payments, so I have a channel open to River Financial, and so any
Sweet.
Payment that goes through, I collect 0.01% of that.
Nice.
Nice.
Stack them.
Coin Icarus, you want to jump in? I know we cut you off.
No, all good. We, in terms of the price action, though, we got rejected off of that 13,884, which was our previous high from 2019. So, but what's really interesting is that even though we pulled back off of it, essentially that dip, I mean, listen to all of us talking, right? I mean, I bought it today twice. So, you know, I think so many of us stacked it, you can just see that it barely had a chance to fall and it just got eaten right back up. And, you know, the trend, you know, is slowly inclining again.
Yeah, every single dip that we've experienced this year, it's just laughable of how it, I mean, we were talking how mature of a market Bitcoin actually is. It's like it is really showing how anti-fragile it is. And earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, how the S&P just takes a giant ass dump, and then Bitcoin just sheds like 100, 200, and then just back up like hours later. It's insane.
Let's go, bullish boys. Yeah, I mean,
let me give you guys a comparison. If you look at the S&P or the NASDAQ, their last daily high, both of them, was 16 days ago. So the S&P in the last 16 days has lost 7.85%. The NASDAQ has lost 8.68%. Bitcoin, just as of yesterday, the daily candle lost 3.62%. But over the last 16 days, it's gained 16%. So Bitcoin's gone up 16 and the NASDAQ has gone down 8. In the same 16 days. So we lost a couple percentage yesterday, but we're way ahead. I mean, Bitcoin as an asset is blowing the rest of the markets out of the window. And I think Bitcoin went down today for the same reason it went down on several of the other market dips. People got to cover their positions and they're selling the most liquid asset to do that. And they're selling it to us. Thank you guys for your stupid trading. I'll buy your dump.
Another PSA. Another PSA. HODL, don't trade. All right, shoot it, CBS.
Oh, I was going to say, just word on the street. So, you know, my subjective experience that I don't see a lot of price discussion in mainstream media. We all are like, why isn't mainstream media talking about this? We're at 13K. But I will say that from my no-coiner friends who, you know, they don't see it in the news, their eyes are on Bitcoin now. They notice price movements. You have people, a lot of normies, a lot of no-coiners who are looking at the price of Bitcoin because now they're paying attention. So, you know, that's just my own experience. And I think you have a lot more people looking at this than it seems like it at the time. It just hasn't filtered up to the main narrative of mainstream news. So that's just my little take so far.
Yeah, I think I agree, actually. I've talked about Bitcoin for a long time with everybody, and I converted three no coiners this week. And I was just shocked because I've been talking to them about it for a really long time. And yeah, they pay attention to the price, even though it's not in the mainstream media. And they saw what's happening, and they're FOMOing.
Look, I think the mainstream media is scared, to be honest. And especially after that one German chick, whatever the fuck she was, basically telling it to Jerome Powell's face last week, we're going to do CBDCs. And Jerome Powell's just like, nope. So I think this is being very much just, you know, shoveled under the table until, I don't know, we hit 20K or some shit, like by Christmas or whatever it's supposed to be. If you believe in stock flow, or I don't know, we don't need to fight over that. But I think any serious discussion in the mainstream about Bitcoin is going to be, even with the whole PayPal thing, like it's going to be hush hush for a reason until it just can't be.
Yeah, I'd agree with both of you, Phil and Liron. I know that I had a few friends hit me up. One of them's a Bitcoin skeptic, and another's one that stacking a little bit and knows that I'm a Bitcoiner. And once the price started moving, one of them texted me and it's like, well, there goes humble issue, bro. And, you know, I give him the Chad yes meme. But my other friend, I think he was trying to be like satirical, because he did like, it was an Instagram filtered thing about PayPal getting into Bitcoin cryptocurrency markets. And so there's definitely normie ears peeking up and eyes starting to follow the market. But I have a question for Liron. What were some of the questions that your friends were asking you this week?
So these guys are all actually pretty technical. They all work in tech. So, you know, I talked to them about it for a long time. And really what it came down to is they never paid attention to it seriously. It was always just, yeah, that's just that internet money stuff. And they never really looked into it. When they started looking into it and they started asking the type of questions like, trying to think of like specifics, I'm blanking out, but the types of things they were kind of more looking at were, you know, negative things, downsides, like what would happen if things go bad. And there was just an answer for everything. It was, you know, there were logical answers for everything, all of their concerns, which was, reassuring to them. Like it's, you know, like we talked about, it's been around for a while. It's been tested now. It's held through a lot of stresses. Even when we talk about things like, you know, the block size wars and things like that, and how that succeeded in the correct direction to keep decentralization and things like that, they're just very impressed with all of those things.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, I went to the Apple store this weekend because I had lost my AirPods, and I am a fan of the AirPods. And while I was sitting there waiting for my box to come out, the Apple Genius guy looked at my BitBlock Boom mask, because we're forced to wear masks to walk into the store, and he's like, what's that about? And I'm like, oh, it's a conference. And he's like, is that like a cryptocurrency conference? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's a Bitcoin one. And then so I started to orange pill him, and it just like, I don't know if it's the collective consciousness that is, you know, starting to see what we have all seen. But like, once you just tell them, it's like, this is the best time to be in the market there. I don't know, something about it just makes the shill so much easier. And so once people are asking you about it, you're just like, yeah, you know, this you're basically not going to lose any money right now. And they're like, wow, okay. And then you go into all the, you know, fundamentals of Bitcoin, and their ears are really perked up. And I showed them some podcasts and stuff. And so I think we're going to be in for a lot more education on our side with everyone on the daily basis or weekly basis.
Did you show them this show?
I actually didn't. I showed him Stefan and Tales from the Crypt. I wanted to give him just like pure, like, good, like, just make sure that he's getting the message purely, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, wanted to say a few things.
Get it.
What's not pure about our message? Hold on.
Our message is pure, but like, I think my, like, my OPSEC popped up and I was like, yeah, like, I don't want you to know who I am. Just go listen to some Bitcoin podcasts.
Oh, different. I got you. Because you're seeing a person in real life who can know who you are, and then you connect them to what you're doing here.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Reasonable position to take. I got it. Although, I was going to say that, and I apologize whoever I cut off there. The newbies, you know, we kind of do want to encourage them to visit us first, because then they can then get some basics from us guys, and then they can go on to the people we learn from, who are at a much higher level, you know, stepping stones. So
you're right.
I shill kindergarten every place I get. So just because these people are new, where are they going to go? They might as well listen to us first, you know.
Let's go. All right. Well, now I'm a Bitcoin educator, so I guess I gotta show the show. But Bitcoin, I forget your Twitter. Bitcoin is us. Bitcoin is .us.
Yeah, Bitcoin is us.
Yeah, Bitcoin is us.
Bitcoin is .us online, on the internet. But yeah, that was a good presentation, Dennis. I'm definitely gonna use that as ammo for people that wanna hate. Definitely going to one-up people with that one. And also, Liron didn't convert me to from a no-coiner to a coiner, but he did convert me this weekend to from a no-noder to a node.
Let's go. So
I am running a node now. I got hooked up by the Miami Bitcoin crew.
Yeah.
I also wanted to shout out one more plug, Kanye West. Throwing Bitcoin out there to like 9 million people probably on the Joe Rogan podcast. That might have something to do with the price, who knows.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't listen to the whole podcast, but that one clip that was going around Bitcoin Twitter about Bitcoiners are the only people that can usher in a new frontier or something like that, that's pretty bullish.
Yeah, it was a very well said quote. Just a nice like 10-second bit that is pretty powerful, I think. As much as everyone has different opinions on him, like that quote itself was pretty awesome.
Let's
go. Dude, Kim Kardashian is only 40? What the fuck?
Keep it in your pants, Phil. Keep it in your pants. Anyone want to add some stuff, or I'm going to segue into our next topic?
I mean, it was just price, right? I mean...
Yeah, and just like bullish sentiment with noobs and stuff.
Does anyone think it can go down a little bit more?
Yeah, man, I really wouldn't throw a bitch fit if it hit like 10, 8. You know, that'd make me happy for like a day or two, and then just run back up.
I mean, I don't think it would last long.
Okay. Quad 4 is coming, isn't it? I mean, it's going to dip.
Quad 4.
The supply is so dried up now. I'd be so... I would bet that we would never hit below 10K again.
I would agree.
Here's what I want to know. Yeah, how much is it going to dip after the election, or if at all?
Well, I think it's going to go up.
Not give a fuck.
Well,
what
Phil,
happened?
Perfect segue. It wasn't the segue we wanted, but that is one of our questions. Dennis wanted to know, do you think Bitcoin's price will be affected after the elections, and... is Trump or Biden better for Bitcoin? So perfect, Phil.
You're welcome.
Anyone got some pressing thoughts on that one? Or I can kind of ramble for a moment. Okay. Go, Phil.
So I want to say, If y'all don't listen to On the Brink, I mean, they do some shitcoin stuff here and there. But Matt Welch interviewed Dick Bove. He's been in the financial markets since, like, the 60s, so he knows what the fuck he's talking about. Really, really, really great, insightful conversation. Go snag that. It came out the week before, or, like, the weekend after, the week before after BitBlock Boom. Like, go check it out. But basically, he said that if there's a Biden presidency, then the banking regulations supposedly will be tighter. Because just in general, on the left, you know, the left hates, like, the big bankers, which, you know, we're Bitcoiners. And we know that they're just fucking status shills and go to hell. So we'll see them there. So there's going to be, you know, central planning, regardless of who's in power. But what Dick Bove was saying is that, yeah, there might be tighter regulations on what the banks can and can't do. That doesn't mean that they're not going to stop printing money. That's inevitable. And then apparently there is just going to be fucking loosey-goosey low interest rates. I guess, you know, maybe you'll be in a worse situation than we're seeing now. Because, you know, if Trump wins, that's what's going to happen. And it would make sense because he's been advocating for and having, like, threats, not really threats, but, like threatening to have lower interest rates because – if there's liquidity flowing in the economy, and that just fudges the numbers, which we come to a predicament of sorts because banks are not lending money. So that can kind of go into, like, a whole CBDC thing that may actually happen or may not happen. But it's going to be really interesting. I don't know if it's just going to – it might be stagnant. Like Nick mentioned, like, the Bitcoin's dried up, whatever, but, you know, at some point, if money isn't being lent out, then, you know, we kind of heading into that deflation versus inflation debate. So maybe we'll see some, like, super hyper deflation, and then maybe that's when they just, you know, pedal to the metal on the inflation, or, you know, maybe some giant asset markets will, you know, implode. So I don't really know, but, you know, Trump also argued that he wanted to have a bigger stimulus package than the Democrats. So if anything, that's just a call option for free fucking Bitcoin, if you ask me. So that's pretty bullish. But, you know, it's anyone's call, really. But as far as, you know, Trump over Biden winning, look, if Biden wins, he's going to quote unquote, you know, what – Pelosi will pull out the 25th Amendment and say, oh, crazy Joe Biden's, like, just not fit. Or, you know, maybe they'll fucking, like, Epstein him or some shit. And, like, he'll be dead in 6 months. Who knows? But they'll find a way to get him out of the way and throw Kamala in there. So that's my prediction if Biden wins. If Trump wins, then it will just be another 4 years of hilarity and, you know, the uber left being paid to do, like, right shit will just, you know, have other other things on the internet for us to laugh at. And then Trump will be Trump. And, yeah, the economy will still be a fucking lie to the people. But, hey, when isn't it? So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that. As for Bitcoin, Bitcoin's only going to moon, hopefully, fingers crossed. The next 18 months is going to be very interesting. So regardless, I'm sure y'all will all agree with this, it's going to be a beautiful 18 months for Bitcoin. Now, between us Bitcoiners, we should probably saddle up and learn some fighting skills and prepare our citadels or just stay humble and do as we do. But it's going to be interesting. But keep your loved ones close and just keep buying Bitcoin.
Beautiful.
I mean, I think Trump hasn't touched it in the last 4 years, so you know, I would think nothing happens again if he's there for another four.
Yeah.
He did tweet about it one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the bullish Trump tweet, though. The, like, just one, just hashtag Bitcoin. That's like all we need.
Dude, yeah, what if Kanye is whispering sweet Bitcoin nothings in his ear? You don't know.
That's why we need Kanye 2020.
Oh, man.
All about Kanye 2024. You know that's going to happen.
Kanye?
Wasn't he supposed to run this go around?
He was on the ballot. He's on the ballot.
You have to write him in.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because Trump has spoken about Bitcoin. He said he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, we haven't actually heard Biden say anything about it. What are your
about it too?
Biden doesn't know what a bit is. So
yeah, but what would a Biden tweet about Bitcoin look like? What do you think he would say?
He doesn't know how to tweet.
Well, he did.
There's actually there's a tweet from his account after that hack that all the big like checkmark people got hacked asking for Bitcoin. He had a following tweet saying, "I would never have Bitcoin or something." And then all the Bitcoin Twitter commented under it saying, like, well, guess I'm not voting for you then.
So, yeah, man, and you didn't accept any foreign money. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. We could find the Biden Twitter tweet.
Yeah, I remember that tweet as well. He's like, I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. I will never hold Bitcoin. And I remember people like, yeah, well, you just lost my vote, bro.
I really want to know how many people.
Who's the Bitcoiner who was going to vote for him until he said that?
Obviously. Well,
I
look.
I want to know how many people in Congress are just up on the hill actually hold Bitcoin. Because I don't know who was it that had the buy Bitcoin sign in like court or whatever the fuck that was. But these people are like hobbyist politicians, if we're going to be honest. They're just in there to schmooze, and they're probably getting all these inside trader secrets, and they're seeing the future and the yield curves and how bullshit everything is. And maybe some of them are starting to lose faith in the Fed puts as well. And if they're savvy on markets and they're savvy on just maybe tech, but maybe just the patterns and history of innovations and disruptive markets, I mean, I haven't finished it, but it just takes a few of them to read Devil Take the Hindmost and then to really understand, like, oh, it's Bitcoin. Of course, I have a family, like, I'm fat and happy, but they're going to carry on my legacy. I'm going to start stacking a shit ton of sats right now. Like, you got to wonder how many of them actually do know what the hell is going on.
Well, I think I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, I think, like, Will Cole's mother-in-law got a seat on Congress, and she's like or a seat for their state, and she's a devout Bitcoiner, so we got
she didn't get voted in yet, but she is a shoo-in apparently that she's statistically she's gonna get voted in, but I don't think she's there yet.
Yeah, man, I meant people like actually in Washington though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a few in there, but they just can't talk about it, or else they're. It's like what?
Don't get you.
What was that? I was just gonna say it's like the Michael Saylor effect. Once we got Michael Saylor, a big entrepreneur, billionaire, talking about Bitcoin, and then what was it like a few weeks? Like every week after that, since we've been hearing a lot of Bitcoin conversation happening with those types of big business CEO type. So I think it might still be the same case in Washington, where people are still have that stigma of talking about Bitcoin. So they want to keep their jobs, and until Bitcoin has, that good rosy smell around them, then people are just going to be quiet about it. But that's just,
what Jeff Bezos said is that he's sitting there with people in boardrooms of the most giant companies and even governments. Like, talks about Bitcoin are happening too.
Let's go. All right. Well, anyone want to chime in? Lucas, you've been putting some good stuff in the chat. I don't know if you don't want to dox your voice or something, but you've had some good comments in there. Yeah, he'll stay quiet. But this last comment he put in, he said the Fed will oppose cryptocurrencies in general that permit transfer of value without centralized control because it circumvents their ability to affect sanctions. And yeah, that's super, like, the most Anyone that knows what's going on around here would agree with that. So
and it's not just them either. I think that a lot of central banks across the world, the Bahamas just came up with the sand dollar, which is a centrally backed currency, cryptocurrency that they're trying to use to do the same thing. And I know Barbados has been talking about it. So this is a global thing that they're trying to do, not just the Fed, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's really the U.S. and using the dollar as a fucking economic weapon. I mean, they were trying to
every country is using the dollar as an economic weapon, not just the U.S. Every country is doing it. Matter of fact,
they're going against the SWIFT system as well. And they were doing this a summer ago. It was called like Instex, but it was like with Russia and Iran. And they were trying to come up with this other network to just go against the SWIFT system. And this is what Dick Bove also gets into, and that is it's really kind of like a battle for the world against of like China versus the US, and China is trying to do their whatever Silk Road 2.0 thing. And what they're able to do is because they're printing so much money, they're able to flood these other countries with their currency. And
yeah, the milkshake theory, right? Yeah, that's pretty much what, because they have the option of having the reserve currency. So they're able to suck that value out of all the other countries. But don't feel like the other countries aren't doing it to their own citizens. They still are.
Oh, no, they definitely are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, read the book, New Confessions of Economic Hitman. I mean, the leaders countries are the ones that get bribed by these private corporations to basically take out these giant-ass loans for infrastructure. But it, even though their GDP increases, like those numbers affecting their GDP are just the rich getting richer and the poor getting even more fucked than they are. So yes, like people, leaders of these other countries are deliberately fucking their populace just to become the bitch of whatever world power is at their helm.
Yeah, and you guys brought up China, and we have that news this week of China fully endorsing the digital yuan. So I didn't really look into it, but you know, China has came out and said that they're officially going to, was it look into or create their own central bank digital currency or central bank digital currency?
They're probably going to create it. And I think we all know the story behind this and what happens. It's just Panopticon. And what's frightening is that everyone should go check out the documentary. It's called New Money. And basically all the money being made in the world is happening in China. And China is basically trying to get a lot of U.S. money to, you know, stop investing in the U.S. and just start investing in Chinese companies and stocks and whatnot. And that's kind of ultimately, I guess, how they win, because they're very strategic. It's not like they're playing 3D chess. They're playing 4D, a game of Go. They're very meticulous.
Nice reference.
Yeah. No, I'm serious, though. It's like they're in this for the long haul. And if you watch that documentary called New Money, and, like, please, no one, like, lambast me for being a racist. I don't think that. I'm pro-people. I'm anti-statism. And it's just very compelling. It's basically, like, they're sucking the money and resources out of the entire world and are trying to dominate. And in a way, it is a form of cyber warfare. And the war that we all understood from, you know, World War One and Two, and before that and after that, like, you know, boots on the ground may be over, and it's going to turn into first economic, as most wars kind of start out as economic warfare with sanctions and, you know, tariffs and all this, which we have all seen and experienced in the last couple of years. And then what it's going to turn into is cyber warfare, which is, you know, like hacking Sony, but 2.0 and a digital panopticon. And, you know, don't even get me started on the whole Build Back Better bullshit and getting that rolled in with COVID. And this is why Bitcoin and cryptography is so goddamn important. And whether or not Trump gets elected is, I don't know if that's going to remove like Barr from whatever position he holds, but I have heard that it is his seat in particular, or Barr, saying that he wants to, prevents cryptography from being used by individuals. And that's why Bitcoin and cryptography are so important. And I don't think that innovation can get here soon enough for that. So hopefully we can all withstand this panopticon bullshit and live as sovereign individuals. But I can only be hopeful on that front.
Amen. Amen to that. Anyone else want to chime in? Jessifer?
As for that digital yuan part, I was just looking through the South China Morning Post, and it says the last paragraph in there is the central government has made it clear that the goals of the DCEP include replacing cash, maintaining government control over the currency, and creating as many small retail application scenarios as possible. China is looking to internationalize the yuan by enhancing its use in international settlements. This seems like a direct play against Libra and specifically against the dollar. And so to me, it's showing that they're taking advantage of this first mover advantage, that if you get a digital currency in place and you get other people to use it, you know, you're going to have a strong foothold in this whole system. However, Bitcoiners have already had a strong foothold in something that works better for people around the world.
Very much so. But on the fiat front, I don't see why it would be too crazy of an idea for Western countries and the U.S. to actually adopt their CBDC if it's successful. And if they're able, I mean, think of China basically owns us. Everything, because we rely so much on imports and they are exports.
China don't own shit to me.
I don't disagree with you there, man. I feel that sentiment. But it's scary. Just imagine if, like, the new fiat standard was China's CBDC. You know, I think that might be their end goal.
Yikes.
But then there have also been recent talks about, you know, Bretton Woods 2.0 and what that's going to look like, and establishing, like, a new SDR. George Gammon actually did a really killer video on that last night, if y'all check him out at all. But it's going to be super interesting the next few years.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I feel like China wields debt as a weapon. They wield debt as like a samurai. And having the CBDC is going to give them just the brand new blade, you know, that has tracking abilities and all kind of other bullshit with it too. So it's concerning to me, to be honest.
Yeah, very much so.
Definitely.
I will say, like, you know, I'm not, like, on the Trump wagon or anything, but, you know, when people in my circle, and especially I've been starting to listen to a No Agenda podcast with Adam Curry, really good shit. Like, if you want to know what's going on in the world, it's a hell of a show. Like, dude invented, he's the pod king, I guess, or he invented pod, he's the pod father, that's what they call him. But it almost appears like Trump somehow, like, is one of the many politicians that Russia, I mean, not Russia, China hasn't bought. And, you know, he's quote unquote, like, not establishment. And I don't know. It, like, you don't hear in the media about them talking about China, like, at all. And, you know, I think they might just have, like, a stranglehold over media and tech, and, you know, so they don't talk about that. And of course, you know, they'll pin everything on Russia. And, you know, we saw how the Russia hoax was just exactly a hoax. So I don't know if Trump actually isn't, like, bought and paid for like everyone else is. But then again, I don't know. It's like, even whoever is in office, it really doesn't fucking matter at the end of the day. So I don't know. Like, I'm trying to be optimistic, but then at the same time, like, fighting realism. But, you know, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. No one does.
What impact does China have on Bitcoin's future, given a lot of mining is done there, et cetera? Like, can they shut operations down? Who's mining? Like, I'm pretty unaware of all that stuff.
Yeah, ask Nick Carter. I don't know.
They're going to have a diminishing effect on mining going into the future. They're the diminishing influence, I should say. The natural gas, flared gas industry in North America is going to eat their lunch eventually.
Would you say the Chinese government is participating in mining? Like, I mean, because it's clearly illegal to do that there, and the people that are doing it, if they're not part of the government, are taking a huge risk. So,
yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't be subsidized by the CCP.
You could say that China is also holding Bitcoin. I mean, maybe lots of it. So,
well, hey, I mean, that's good for Bitcoin. If it's China that is like the impetus for the world of like Bitcoin standard.
Yeah, I mean,
ultimately, the cost of mine Bitcoin ultimately is going to be the capital expenditure to set up the mining rigs. The energy itself won't cost anything. So if they can do it for free, just like flared natural gas people can do it for free, or hydroelectric plants can use their excess electricity that's basically free, it's setting up the infrastructure. So everybody's on the same level. They can't win just because they have a government that can print endless amount of money. They still need free electricity, because when you're in the mining business, it's profit and loss. So if you're getting Bitcoin for free, because that's your cost. Your hardware is your cost.
That's just manufactured in China too, I would assume, like all the ASICs and stuff like that.
They probably have an edge in that area, but you got to also remember something too. As people become more aware of the hard money properties of Bitcoin, less and less people are going to accept any other payment for their labor and their products. So the Chinese government, any government, is only has a certain amount of time where they can use print on demand fiat to pay for actual value. So the regular citizens will fall for that for a long period of time. They'll also be forced to use central bank digital currencies and whatever else the government forces on them. But those who are attuned to this market, like we are not going to want that as payment for our ASIC miners that we just built or whatever else it might be. So there's different dynamics in this industry than there are in every other industry because of the awareness of hard money on the planet. So I think that changes the incentives to those people who are aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, also as far as the digital yuan and all that stuff, China's not a friend of most nations, so I don't know how willing people would be to participate in that economic network. Like, everyone hates China, pretty much.
Except, yeah, I agree. It's their citizens that'll be forced to participate, but is the world going to want their currency as a world reserve currency? Not likely, but they're also going to reject the U.S. digital, central bank currency, because it's going to be a fight to see who could force their digital currency on the rest of their portion of the earth society that they believe they control. It's going to be kind of funny to watch them battle it out as the awareness of this one hard money starts to perpetrate through society, and every one person after another is going to wake up and begin to laugh at these other human beings that are like fighting each other in a mud wrestling match, and we're all laughing because they look like fools because they're fighting over the wrong thing. They can just keep fighting all day long, and we're over here on the side laughing, going, "Hey, you guys are just making the fools of yourselves." But, they can keep it going for quite a while. They also got the monopoly on violence to back it. So there could be some bad things that take place during the period of time. But the reality is what it is. Hard money's on the planet now, and they can't change it. They can just, mess around and play games for some period of time, but society's going to wake up. It might take a couple generations, but unless Bitcoin was to somehow fail, you can't stop this train. And they can play games for decades, and eventually they're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, the countries that have currency decline right now, their reserve currency is the dollars. I mean, I know people personally in Argentina that they're all pretty much only dealing in dollars now. The black market is all in dollars. Cambodia is only dealing in dollars. Like, it's accepted by their government. Ecuador, so it'll take some time for that to change, I mean, from the U.S. dollar standard.
That right there is the reason why the U.S. can continue to print money and not have significant hyperinflation, because the dollars we print and export out to the rest of the world are valued by everybody else. They're looked at as harder money. And so they'd rather have US dollars than their own local currency. But over time, all we're doing is exporting our inflation to the poorest people in other parts of the world. And eventually, it's like trying to fill up, you know, a bucket. Eventually, it gets filled up and has to spill out. And the inflation, you know, it can only go so far and wide out into the world before it starts to pile up somewhere. All that extra dollars, they begin to pile up and the cost of everything starts to rise. And eventually it comes all the way back to the U.S. When the rest of the world figures out what we're doing, you know, the U.S. dollar could begin to get rejected. But again, you know, where are people going to go? It's going to have to be the awareness. See, the U.S. dollar is probably the last fiat currency to fall because it's been the world reserve currency. All the others have to be considered they already are considered less valuable, and they all have to go to zero, and then eventually the dollar to go to zero before everybody's going to adopt Bitcoin as the world reserve currency. But ultimately, it's the best choice for humanity, as we know. And if it plays out in terms of the right game theory and human desires and greed and whatnot, they will, by nature, want to switch to this money. It's in everybody's best interest. So they all the rest have to fail if Bitcoin is to succeed. But the, you know, all the right pieces of the puzzle are in place for that to happen. You know, they keep printing money and everybody's purchasing power goes down. People one by one are going to start freaking out more and more and more. COVID accelerated all this. So, it seems like it has to play out only one way to me.
And Jim, that's a perfect segue because I don't know if you guys saw Raoul Paul's tweets yesterday, but he's saying Bitcoin is the greatest asset ever. So, Jessifer, do you have those tweets up there?
Ooh, Raoul Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe he said it is pristine collateral.
Ooh, let's go. You want to read one of the, maybe the main one off, and then we can talk about it.
Sure, yeah. Stop me whenever. But he writes, Bitcoin is eating the world. It has become a supermassive black hole that is sucking in everything around it and destroying it. This narrative is only going to grow over the next 18 months. You see, gold is breaking down versus Bitcoin, and gold investors will flip to Bitcoin. And the NASDAQ is next. Retail specs are going to flip to Bitcoin as it eats tech's lunch. It has already destroyed the banks. They are now at their all-time low versus our digital currency hero. Bonds, one of my favorite trades for years, dead in the water versus the superhero of all assets. Commodities in the rearview mirror and heading towards all-time lows. G4 central bank balance sheet, the other superpower, still just about outperforming the last 2 years, but about to lose the fight to Bitcoin. Silver, forget about it. Amazing Amazon, nope. Bitcoin is going to eat its lunch for breakfast. Apple, nope. Bitcoin's performance is so dominant and so all-encompassing that it is going to suck in every single asset narrative dry and spit it out. Never before in my career have I seen a trade so dominant that holding any other assets makes almost no sense. The macro flows, technology, demography, and societal strains have all converged to this moment in time, and the definitive answer for markets is Bitcoin. I get this sounds a little evangelical, but I'm struggling to see it any other way right now. The supermassive black hole is going to suck in everything. Again, this is the best trade / investment and future opportunity I have ever found, and it has the power to give the little guy a chance to grab their share of the wealth creation before Wall Street does. Grab it.
Let's go. Raoul Paul is no longer scared, people. Go, Jim. Go, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah, he mentions the word trade. It's not going to be a trade, folks. You got to think this one through. If you're moving your productivity into the best asset to store it in, and that asset's likely to continue rising, the chances of you trading it back for anything other than goods and services one day is close to zero. So you're not trading back to dollars or yen or anything else. You're going to buy stuff with that, or you're going to leave it to your heirs. This thing is to be held for a very, very long time until it becomes ubiquitous money on the entire planet and everybody's using it, nobody's trading this thing, not even Rob Paul, right? Once he figures it out long enough and he stops promoting shitcoins that he still thinks are viable for some unknown reason. This is not a trade. This is move your productivity. You go to work, you earn money. It used to be where you could save your money in a bank, get interest on it, and buy something with it later, retire on it later on because it didn't lose its value. I mean, we know it did, but in some ways, society worked a lot better where the average guy could actually save his wealth in money. He didn't have to invest. He didn't have to buy assets until the government started playing with the money so much. Now we have this real money again, actual money that you could put your productivity in and not have it drain away. This is what Michael Saylor came to realize. This is a place where this is how money's supposed to function. It's not supposed to be manipulatable by some small group of people. It's supposed to allow you to store productivity, your value over space and time, and then redeem it later for something. So those of us who are holding our Bitcoin for decades know that we're either leaving it to somebody else or we're going to live off of it as Bitcoin. I'll never trade it back to dollars. I'll find somebody to give me something for the Bitcoin, whether it's food, shelter, vacation. But 10, 20 years from now, everybody on the planet will accept Bitcoin for anything. It's like asking somebody, hey, do you want this? Should we put this through the credit card system or should I pay you cash? The merchant's going to go, well, I'll take the cash. Well, that's what Bitcoin's going to be. Anybody will take it. They won't want to necessarily spend it. But guys like us who all we have is Bitcoin, we're going to have to spend it if we want to keep living. I know that's where my life's going to end up. Everything that I gather up one day, I'll look at my life expectancy and I'll go, well, I got enough. Definitely I can live the rest of my life. So I might as well start spending it, living it up. And I'm just going to start spending Bitcoin. And whatever's left, my heirs will get. But I'm going to whoop it up one day off my Bitcoin. It's never going back to dollars. This is not a trade, Raul. Don't be scared. It's not a trade.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, anyone got some pressing thoughts on that one?
I'm only selling when quad four.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Does anyone know what the fuck that is?
No.
It's him shilling his trading algorithms. But go, Coinagers.
Yeah, exactly. I actually posted a link to what it was in Twitter. It's a proprietary algorithm that he created, you know, him and his team, to explain, you know, market fluctuations as they see them. And yeah, he called it Quad 4 and pretends like it's some type of standard that, you know, people should know. You know, and if you don't, you're just some, you know, investment fool.
See, I don't doubt that he's a really smart guy, and Quad 4 has pretty insightful implications on the broader macro, you know, perspective. But I feel like that all falls to pieces when you're talking about generational paradigm shift. Like, you can't map any conventional, you know, mental model onto what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's had 80% corrections like 4 or 5 times in its lifetime. So I guess people are trying to capitalize on that statistic and say there's going to be better buying opportunities, etc.
Yeah, how do you reconcile Quad 4 with an asset that has had 9,000,000% appreciation in 10 or 11 or 12 years? Like, it just doesn't add up.
Well, that kind of goes to what I was saying before, that this is something different. You don't trade this thing. You can't even look at it like a trade. Now, it acts like an asset going up and down, a volatile asset that's trying to find price discovery. But Quad 4 may never be coming from whenever his Quad 3 was supposed to end. I mean, because Bitcoin just doesn't do what everything else does. You know, maybe it'll fit into his model once in a while, but maybe it won't. So it's just another, like Raul Paul, you know, they look at this as a trade, and it's not. This is a thing to own. It's just different. You know, Keith's a bonehead. He'd be up a bunch if he just didn't sell a couple weeks ago, but he's gonna buy some dip he thinks is coming, I guess, in Quad 4, whenever that is. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I think he bought in again.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and
I say welcome him back. Welcome him back with open arms if he changes his mind. I mean, one of the best marketing strategies is to be like, hey, yeah, you were wrong for the past, you know, several years, but you're in it now, and that's what matters.
I agree with that. I feel like no matter how much you've shitted on it in the past, if you're in it, you're in it now. Like, we're not really here for people's personalities. We're here for the sound money. So if you believe in it, then you're good, no matter what you were doing before.
Agreed.
People like him that are known, when they flip, it's actually very good for Bitcoin, because they, you know, especially when they do, even Rob Paul.
Yeah, look at Michael Saylor's tweet.
There.
Exactly.
Say what?
He said, look
Sorry
at Michael Saylor.
Yeah, Michael Saylor's infamous tweet. Now, he wasn't really going off on it or anything, and he even said himself he actually does not remember tweeting it or even having an opinion on it. But, I mean, that is a hell of a marketing strategy.
Yeah, of course. And this is going to happen many times. And this guy, Keith McCall, he might have to do the same thing at some point when his eyes are really wide open, or if he goes through some other cycles that don't fit into his charts and he starts to really wake up about it. Who knows? But yeah, anytime a guy that's, you know, successful, wealthy, has a big following, whatever, you know, these guys are well known in their little markets that you know, they're the people that pay attention to them. You know, when they make a flip and they do it honestly, it really does give a lot of credibility to what Bitcoin is. Because after bashing it for so long and having all your followers agree with you, for you to flip, they have to now consider, hey, you know, either I believe this guy and I got to flip with him, or now I got to admit I've been following a charlatan all this time. Nobody even wants to do that. It's like the pandemic right now. Nobody wants to admit wearing a mask was ridiculous, so they keep doing it because nobody wants to look foolish, you know, to admit that they were duped into it, which I think they all are, of course. Everybody knows that about me. I mean, these guys flipping, it's great. It's great for Bitcoin. And I think Bo was right. You know, I haven't shit on McCulloch really once. I mean, I think he's silly to analyze it that way.
Is it just me or did we lose Jim?
We lost him.
Perfect.
I thought it was me too. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first
time. Someone's been trying to cut him off.
Jim, we lost you, bro. But
you went on mute. Yeah.
Just to take the other side of that take, when people get into Bitcoin and they don't understand what they've bought, then they're going to be the ones that sell it, that kind of accelerate the massive drops that happen, you know, when there's a, you know, big hype cycle. So like, those are going to be the people that are contributing to people just getting wrecked, that, because those are the folks that don't realize the long-term potential, that like, what else would you ever want to sell this for? There's nothing as good out there. Even if Bitcoin is like temporarily, you know, like in the peak of a hype cycle, like, it's still a good investment versus any other currency.
Yeah, and it kind of creates like this equilibrium, because all the sellers give the newbies the opportunity to buy, because, you know, price goes down even if it's from 50K to 45K. It's like, hey, that's still an opportunity for new kids on the block to actually feel like they got a sweet deal on it.
Yeah, a lot of people I talk to that I try to get them off of zero, their opinion is just now like, oh, it's too expensive, you know. And I try to preach how early it still is, but when you see things in traditional terms, like a 30% increase in 2 weeks or whatever, you know,
those same people are gonna see, you know, would see Bitcoin at 4K and would tell you that, well, it's gonna go lower.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll always come up with a reason, right? If it's going down, forget it. It's dying. If it's going up, forget it. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
We celebrate when it goes down too much because we get to buy 2%. Yeah, exactly. People think I'm crazy, but it's just the truth.
Yeah, it is true. Although March was a little scary.
I think one reason people think it's too expensive is because for the past, you know, 10 years, people have imagined crypto as kind of like a casino where you are expected, you are gunning for these 10x, 20x, 1000x returns. But when Bitcoin is boring, or at least when it seems boring to people like it has the past 2 years, they begin to view it differently. They begin to view it as a comparatively stable asset. And so when it has these, finger quote, depreciated prices, people are like, okay, well, I actually view it as less freaky. And people will buy it without this expectation of a 10x return. Now, what that results in is they are positioned for, you know, the most insane bull ride of their lives. But I think when people don't go, like when newbies go in not expecting a 10x return in 2 years, they don't actually view it as expensive. They can wrap their heads around owning 0.1 Bitcoin.
Yeah, and also I you know, like, there's still a lot of asymmetric information in the Bitcoin space. Like, I brought up the Apple guy earlier, and one of the questions, one of the questions he asked me, or I'm not sure if I brought it up, was that he didn't have to buy a whole coin, and he's like, it's super expensive, and he was asking me the price. I'm like, yeah, it just hit 13K, but like, you can buy as little as a penny. You know, we recommend buying a whole coin, but I'd still think a lot of people don't understand that you can just buy portions of a Bitcoin. You know, they still think, oh, wow, I don't have enough money to buy Bitcoin. It's so much. And then, you know, you just got to basically handhold and be like you can just, you know, DCA in every week, you know, buy as much as you can every week and get exposure. And over the long run, you'll have, you know, as much or as little Bitcoin as you put in. So that's kind of, you know, why we're here, just spreading the word. And it may seem super simple to us that, you know, there's 100 million sats in a Bitcoin and like, man, you're being dumb right now. How don't you understand this? But I, you know, a lot of people haven't fully dove down the rabbit hole and they just don't understand these things.
I find a lot of people can wrap their heads around if you lower their expectations, if you say, okay, well, bear, you know, play this along with me. Bitcoin, could you see Bitcoin being around in 10 years? Could you see it maybe being like $100,000 per Bitcoin in 10 years? And that kind of narrative seems to be a lot more palatable for people. In reality, my opinion is that it's going to be 100K in a couple years. But that might help them be less intimidated by the price.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, anyone want to chime in? Jim, we still can't hear you. I'm not sure if you're trying to talk to us. It looks like you have green around your box, but...
Wait.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, can you hear me now?
There you go.
I realized that when I stopped talking, nobody said anything, and something happens for some reason. My phone just cuts me off, and I don't know it. So I think everyone's hearing me. I was in the middle of talking about how I agree with Bobo saying how we got to accept these people that turn that, you know, change their mind. All their followers see them come to the light and, you know, and they repent of their sins and accept Bitcoin for what it really is. So when that, you know, I don't know what you guys spoke about while I disappeared. But the last thing I was talking about was that McCulloch guy. Anyway, yeah, I had to get off and back on and the thing resets.
Beautiful. Well, anyone got some thoughts on this? Any more thoughts?
I was gonna say I'm probably gonna buy the Bitcoin conference ticket this week sometime.
Oh, there you go.
I think somebody here is like running it or
yeah, that's Nick. Nick is Bitcoin Mag social media dude.
Yeah, Nick, like, what's the numbers that this can fit, like this conference and all that?
Wait, I was typing out a response to a tweet. Can you repeat that, please?
Like, what's the capacity of the conference?
Bitcoin 2021.
So we're looking to sell, I think, 15,000 tickets. That's our goal.
Wow.
And that many people can fit in whatever, like, convention center or whatever you're doing that in?
I don't know how much details I can release, but it's going to be a big venue.
Cool.
Dang.
Going to be in a stadium.
I know, right?
Rams Stadium.
Well, I mean, just think, it has to be big enough for one. I know Jim's excited about this, but the skate ramp, that big half pipe that Tony Hawk's going to be skating, has got to fit that and a lot of other cool stuff.
All right, I'm sold.
Are you sure 15,000? I thought Bitcoin 2019 had like 3,500.
This conference is going to be crazy, Jim.
Well, that's five times. That's five times the people. Unfortunately, sadly, there's going to be a lot of shitcoiners there if that's the case. I hate to say it because this, you know, to get just Bitcoin is that many in one place. I don't know. I don't see that happening for some reason.
Well, if you looked at the headliners, if you will, it's Jack Dorsey, Tony Hawk, Chamath.
Zabo.
I didn't realize he added Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, but no, Zabo's not like a household name outside of Bitcoin.
Is Tony Hawk a known Bitcoiner by any chance? Like,
He's been in for a long time.
He's like he's one of the more OGs, actually.
2015, I believe he got in.
I should probably follow him.
He doesn't really tweet about it much, at least that I've seen, but I remember him tweeting he's been riding the Bitcoin wave for X amount of years. And it was that was like in 2017, I think, or 2018.
Yeah, that's when he like made it known, and everybody went, "No way, dude!"
Yeah, he's got better OPSEC than all of you guys.
Yeah. He's also just naturally humble. Like I listened to an interview with him on the Jacob Harbinger show. I think I said his name right. And it's funny. I forget what question he asked Tony specifically. It was something like, yeah, skateboarders are like really disenfranchised kind of things. They find themselves in this very niche hobby. Is there anything that you can think off the top of your head that you found in your life that's similar? And I'm just like, say Bitcoin, say Bitcoin, fucking say Bitcoin. And he doesn't say Bitcoin. He says something lame, like, I don't know.
Well, he's biding his time.
Huh?
He's biding his time for the perfect opportunity and the perfect audience.
Yeah, like, I think he's just naturally humble. And like some of the stories he was telling, he's just like that straight up, like that nice of a dude. Which is kind of like a shame for him, like because if it was more public of people knowing that he is into Bitcoin, you know, think of like what that would possibly do. But then again, it kind of brings us all back to our humble sat stacking roots, because like, hey, that's kind of like how we should be, man, because it's just kind of a part of our life. It's a part of us. It's just kind of what we do. Like, it's, I don't know, it's based, it's etiquette, it's just, it just is. It's like,
hey, it, Phil, I think if anybody asked any one of us what that same question, there's not a chance any of us would say anything other than Bitcoin. So he's just enough. You know, like if it was that important to him, like it is to us, he'd be obsessed with it, like we all are, and it would be the only thing he wants to talk about. It would come to his mind when a question like that's asked. He bought some because somebody said, "Oh, this is going to be worth a lot of money," and he's got so much money he didn't probably care. And now he gets to say, "Oh, look how smart I was." But
he
still doesn't even care. The guy's got plenty of money. He doesn't
get really soon in his life. And he talked about editing like videos and stuff when skating wasn't paying the bills. But like, I think he might have like an inner cypherpunk in him, like a little bit. So maybe he is
a skateboarder. You know, skateboarders are generally rebels to begin with. But point is, the guy's loaded. He probably never has to work again. I don't think his Bitcoin was some hard money Austrian economics, you know, change the world decision. It was probably more like, hey, somebody said you should invest some money in this. You got enough of it. Throw some over here. And he got, you know, sort of stumbled into it and held it. And now he's a Bitcoiner. I mean, I don't get the impression that he's been red-pilled on Bitcoin as this new money that's going to save humanity or something like that. It's just,
well, he gives a lot to charities and stuff. And like, he's the one, like the top donor in paying for like skate parks and like public works and shit like that. And I'm curious if he ever saw like the dirty status inefficiencies, and maybe he saw Bitcoin as like a way to combat that. But that's just
just it. I don't think he has. I've never heard him say a word anything like that.
He's humble. He doesn't talk about and brag about all the nice shit he does.
No. It's not about bragging about the nice shit he's doing. If he thinks Bitcoin is what it should, what we think it is, he should be telling the world, well, "Hey, wake up! You're being screwed by a bunch of human beings around you. This is going to help you."
He'll probably say that at Bitcoin 2021.
Well, that's my point. Is like the guy's not red pilled enough. If he was, he'd be obsessed to change the world for the better. If he's that much of a, you know, a charity kind of guy, he should be red pilling the world with his status out there. He should be red pilling every kid on a skateboard. Hey, you got some Bitcoin? You should be telling your parents to pay your what do you call it? Your allowance in Bitcoin, you kids. Get yourself $25 of Bitcoin every week and learn what a hard way. He should be educating people if he really understood this and believed it. He's not. He has more about skateboarding and whatever else he's into. He's not into Bitcoin that much. Yeah, he's going to be at the conference. That's great.
Yeah,
I hope he gets a little more red-pilled by then. Hope he gives a like rousing speech that wakes everybody up in the skateboard generation around the world that Bitcoin should be owned by everybody. Damn it. Get off your asses and get some friggin' Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, that's irresponsible. He's not their parents, and he's also got like a company and probably a lot of lives that he doesn't want to like impact negatively, and he's not like obnoxious like we are. So
well, you think that's gonna impact people negatively? Seriously, Phil?
Where's yeah, that's bearish, bro.
Come on, dude.
I think I see what Phil's saying, though. Obviously, like, first, obviously. You know, Tony Hawk is he doesn't seem to be that kind of person to kind of shill people that hard. And second, I don't think it'll impact people negatively, but I think what Phil is saying that might turn them off in the beginning. Like, they might take a longer time to get into Bitcoin if they're shilled that hard.
And also, in a way, it's almost investment advice. And who the fuck is Tony Hawk to give anybody investment advice? You know,
well, I mean,
he's
kind of performed.
Yeah, he's fucking Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's portfolio is performed very
well. I know he's super
yeah.
successful, but like the point is, it's just not what like a good guy does. You know,
you should actually
he hasn't
read
made
up
it
on.
A mission of his life. He doesn't care enough. If he did, all he right. would talk about it in the most humble way. But he wouldn't not talk about it. It would people would know that he owns Bitcoin. How many people on the street thinks? That knows Tony Hawk also knows he's owned Bitcoin. 2%? Nobody.
I feel like we should.
The guy's so famous.
We should circle back on this
invention that humans have ever seen. Hold on, you guys. Tony Hawk is famous the world over. He believes, or says he does, in the most important invention humans have ever come up with, and he doesn't talk about it. Come on. How convicted is he?
I mean, it took us some time.
He could do it as a really nice, mellow guy, but he. He's not convicted. He's not.
It took us some. It takes time for everyone to realize it's the most important invention ever.
I know that.
Not everyone gets
that. All I'm saying
is
he's not there yet. Yeah, he's just not there yet. That's all I'm saying.
It's
I'm not saying he doesn't love Bitcoin. He just doesn't love it enough to tell everybody about it. Which, if I had his fame and I believe what I believe, I'd be red pill in the world. That's all because I believe the world should know. This is going to save people. This is the most important technology the poorest people in the world should have. And why isn't he telling him if he cares about humanity? I don't get it, personally. I just don't think he understands it yet.
It's probably just like a good investment to him at this point. And then...
Exactly. That's all. He was told to get some because it's going to go up in value and he has all kinds of money, so he did.
I mean, that might be the majority of Bitcoin holders.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, and I feel like some people are actually never going to get to that point where they understand it enough to want to tell people to save their lives or their livelihood. As in, you know, even when it becomes hyper-Bitcoinization, you're still going to have people that just don't get it. And they're like, oh, this is cool. I'm glad this happened. Don't know why.
I agree with that. You're absolutely right. I agree with both sentiments that most people that hold Bitcoin are holding it for number go up and maybe trade it, and they think about trading it back for dollars or whatever. And it's not about saving the world and hard money. I do agree with that. It will be ultimate. You know, if it ultimately turns into that, it will just be like any of us growing up with, you know, your parents give you money and say, this is money and you could buy things with it. And you go, okay, whatever, you know, because that's what it'll be. One day it'll be so ubiquitous. Nobody will care that it changed humanity. It'll just be there as their money.
Yeah.
So,
that's
you know,
what I think, though.
Some people are extreme like me, obviously, and I think everybody in this group, because that's why we're in this group. That's why we even know about this group, because we're hardcore. We actually understand the ramifications of everything, but we also see it, I think, everybody pretty clearly. Yeah, there's a lot of people. And Phil, I didn't mean to be so hard on you. I get that Tony Hawk doesn't maybe doesn't want to make it his mission. But I think that's unfortunate because to me, it's the most important mission any of us can have is to red pill as many people as possible. Because as I say to everybody I tell, this is the most important invention ever created, in my opinion. And everybody should understand it and adopt it.
Maybe he's the other side of the coin. Maybe he is the yin to your yang, Jim, in that he's just so casual and so normal about it that, I mean, yeah, I own Bitcoin, of course. Yeah, it's cool. You know, some people need to be convinced and some people need it to be normalized. And maybe Tony Hawk's just that normal, relatable dude who everybody likes, who, he's been in Bitcoin for forever. He's going to hold on to it and he'll speak at a Bitcoin conference and some Heelys and shit. And, or I don't know, I don't skate. but you know, maybe he's just is this normal ass dude who's just a very relatable person who your mom and dad can see that he owns Bitcoin. I don't know. I'm speculating. I'm shooting it.
We do tend to scare people off when we get excited and try to preach to the choir. And
guilty.
Like, yo, shut
yeah,
up.
I'm sure I'm guilty.
You guys are nuts. Like, I don't care. And yeah.
Dude, I've had so many conversations that last like 20 minutes over that they shouldn't with my mom about Bitcoin and economics and war. It's
yeah,
I can only imagine that, Phil.
I talk to my parents about it almost every day and they're like, all right, shut up. Like,
yeah,
it fucking pisses me off. Last year, I got both of them $10 worth of Bitcoin from Give Bitcoin, and I was like, it was like 2 weeks ago. I kind of convinced my mom to like the extent, like, okay, well, yeah, all this bad stuff's going on. Yeah, sure, I guess you're right. What do? I'm like, buy fucking Bitcoin. It's like, I don't have any. It's like, bull fucking shit, you don't. You didn't want to take it out. You didn't want to like put your account number into Prime Trust. Like, yes, I get it. That's fucking sketchy. But that was then, this is now. Like, holy shit. Like, yeah, I love you. I'm doing this for you, god damn it.
I've been irking people because I'm like, yeah, I don't really care about, like, the election or whatever because people want my opinion on who I'm voting for. I'm like, oh, just buy Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. Like, what do you mean? You're insane.
Beautiful,
you
guys.
Say, I'm voting for you, dude. You're my hero.
Beautiful.
Like, I'm just...
Hey guys, so we're running over time and we're gonna have to wrap this up and you guys could continue to talk after we end this. But I think Lucas put a good tweet in here or a comment in the chat, says there's something beautiful about annoying your parents about your passions. So
yes,
on that note, guys, let's just continue to as Dennis was saying, chill lightly or just keep going on those epic rants, guys. But this was an awesome conversation. I truly enjoyed it. I got even more bullish than I thought I was. I think every week I come in here thinking I am bullish as possible, and then we start talking, and I'm like, man, I didn't even know there was another level of bullishness. So on that note, Nick, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, thanks for coming out again, everyone, especially for the first part with Dennis, who gave a great presentation. I saw some faces join during Teacher's Lounge that wasn't there for the actual presentation, so if you missed it, you'll be able to see it on our YouTube channel within a day or two. And yeah, thanks for coming out.
All right, thanks guys. You guys make this show possible, and we'll see you next week. Peace out.
Peace.